values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
I do not like the nightlife, baby. But guess what? It's daytime, and you get me instead of Mike Broomhead today. It's Kristen Bentz. And I'm so glad you're with us today. I want to talk about guns and ammo. Suns out, guns out. It's Suns out, guns out Thursday, right? And whenever I want to talk about anything to do with the firearms or ammunition industry, I always have a go-to guy. His name is Evan Dawson, who's joining us today in studio, and he's a guns and ammunition sector expert. So I had like a little incident the other day. And so I live in Uptown Phoenix.
Yeah.
And my kids were coming home from school, and I got a text from one of my girlfriends, "Where are the kids?" And I'm like, "Oh, they actually just got home." And they're like, "There's an active shooter situation in the building across from my apartment." And you always hear about this, and it's sad because we're hearing about more shootings every day.
Yeah, definitely.
And it just becomes kind of like a normal thing. So we locked down the whole building. The kids were home. I was home. It was fine. It was a domestic violence situation.
Oh, geez.
So it's not just like someone shooting randomly.
Yeah.
But it did give me pause. And so I'm an upland bird hunter. I started shooting in my 30s. I'm very familiar with handguns, AR-15s, black guns, all the fun stuff. But I've never had a handgun in the house with my kids.
Yeah.
Until now. And so it can happen to you, and it is happening consistently, and I think we all know this, but when it really does happen outside your door, what would I do?
Well, that's what really hits home is, you know, the narrative for all this time in this country has basically been, you know, this doesn't happen here, we don't have those things going on, that happens in, you know, the most downtrodden, poor areas, and we're seeing more and more and more. That's just not the case. So everyone says it's not going to happen to them until it happens to them. So
literally I'm thinking, okay, well, what if this like lunatic, and this is right on the canal. So typically the canal can be a great place where mommy gets her steps in, and then it can be a place where people are running.
Yeah.
And so we had no information. You're on a lockdown. I, you know, drew all the blinds, all that stuff. Didn't know where this person was, didn't know. And we had 10 snipers and a drone outside my apartment building. This is not downtown Phoenix. This is uptown Phoenix.
Well, you did everything right, at least on that one. So close the blinds, lock the doors, and frankly, arm up, if you ask me.
And so, arm up. So to that point, I a lot of other women that I know are becoming carriers and searching for firearms. And I was just wondering what you're seeing in your capacity with female self-purchase.
It's definitely going up, kind of like you were saying. It's become, women have become the one of the largest demographics of new firearm owners out there. And frankly, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Armed society is a polite society. So a lot more women are seeking out firearms. A lot more women are seeking out training. A lot more women aren't doing the whole, oh, my husband has a gun, my boyfriend has a gun, whatever. A lot of women are kind of going, hey, we're gonna learn on our own, which I think is great. I think it's fantastic.
I was explaining to a girlfriend of mine that lives in Louisiana, and she was lamenting that they now have open carry in New Orleans.
Good.
And that's a terrible thing, and it's awful, and you're arming these kids that are killing each other, et cetera. And that's definitely an opinion.
Yeah.
But I tried to explain to her, when there is open carry, that raises the cost of doing business for crime.
Oh, 100%.
When you're on the freeway, and you can speak to this in a minute, and there's road rage and someone whips out a gun.
Yeah.
When I'm at the grocery store and I'm putting groceries away and putting my kid in the car seat, if someone tries to, you know, hold me up, I could be carrying a gun. They don't know.
You're leveling the playing field.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think that I think there's a fear. And you can back me up on this or not, because you live in this industry where everyone is strapped and everyone is armed all
everyone
the time.
Everyone carries all the time. Yep, you are spot on. You are spot on.
But I think with all the stuff that's been going on college campuses and protesting, my big question was, when is someone going to whip out a gun at one of these demonstrations? I'm so surprised. Can I tell you?
I am too. Believe me. It's very much in my humble opinion, it's very much going to be, it's going to escalate until somebody, well, remember UCLA, there were the Jewish students with sticks that were, you know, fighting
that
off
was
these,
so
these protesters, whatever. So now it's sticks. What's it going to be in a week, a month, longer? We don't know. And that's what's so scary about it is we don't know. We don't know what these people's intentions are. We don't know who's peaceful, who's not. We really don't know anything. So be prepared.
Question for you. So yeah. With this whole protesting thing, you had an incident in Scottsdale that I thought was interesting to share with our listeners.
Yeah, we had I was driving home. We had people blocking. We had Palestinian protesters blocking the roadway, you know, flags. Israel is the real terrorist signs, the whole kind of shebang. Mm-hmm. They end up blocking the road. So light turns green. People are trying to go and these people won't friggin' move. Mm-hmm. So it got to a point where somebody in the line of cars actually fired into the air because these people would not move. It was nuts.
Now, when you're out there, okay, you were telling me earlier that you're seeing more people open carry within 100%. Scottsdale, Phoenix, wherever you go.
Yes. So typically concealed carry is the most common that we have in Arizona because we are a constitutional carry state. The only reason somebody would want to open carry and carry a larger firearm means something very simple. They're scared. They want more ammunition. They want a larger, more controllable firearm. And for that reason, you're seeing more and more larger firearms in holsters on hips. Then you're seeing, you know, Glock 43s and 365 XLs, you know, concealed.
What are you seeing the most of? Handguns?
Handguns for sure. Yeah. But I'm seeing a lot of my industry colleagues are keeping ARs and shotguns in their vehicles for situations like this. A lot of bug out bags, a lot of go bags, which is actually really good to see because what a lot of people who get into guns skimp on is they skip on learning about first aid. They skip learning about disaster preparedness and they think, you know, if they're brand new, it's understandable. Oh, I've got a firearm, I'm safe. You know, I took a training class, I've got my gun, I'm safe to go. But, you know, things like first aid, things like how do you read a map? How do you get power to charge your phone when you know, there's an outage because somebody hit a transformer or whatever.
So, some more survival tactics in addition to firearms training?
Yes, which is very good because, again, that's what a lot of people will skimp on, more so out of ignorance than anything else.
It's funny. My female friends are much more seeking education. I feel that female shooters, and I could be biased here. You can back me up if you need to. But I feel like they will take direction and listen.
100%.
You may balk at that.
100% they do.
We're talking to Evan Dawson. He's a firearms and ammunition sector expert. We're going to take a quick break here and we'll come back. This is Kristen Bentz filling in for Mike Broomhead, and this is KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. We're in the home stretch. This is Kristen Bentz filling in for Mike Broomhead today on KTAR. And we're talking a little bit guns. Sun's out, guns out, right? Whenever I want to talk about guns and ammunition, I talk to my go-to guy, Evan Dawson, who's a guns and ammunition sector expert. Thank you for being here today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Okay, well, that sounds much better.
Ah, beautiful.
Need to tweak his mic a little bit. You know how things go around here.
Yeah, so. Technology's great when it works.
Isn't it? Okay, so we were just chit-chatting about women in the gun industry, women that are seeking protection, women that are seeking out gun education, things like that. I want to talk about what's happening nationally within the guns and ammo demand, if you will.
Demand is basically at an all-time high. So, for example, in this last April, it was the 57th month of over 1 million NICS checks. So a NICS check is it's the federal background check you undergo for every gun purchase you buy. So
it's
no matter.
Funny. Yeah. When people talk about open carry, you'll always hear, you don't need a background check. You don't need anything. That's not true.
That is 100% false. Anyone who says that has never, you know, observed the gun process. So I tell anybody that thinks, oh, there's no background checks, there's no safety, there's no this, no that. Go shadow a gun store for a day and just watch what those guys do and watch all of the paperwork and all the checks and all the policies that are in place to prevent people that shouldn't be having guns from buying guns.
Exactly. And it's a total process. And I think that's 100%. Such a miscommunication with folks that are anti-gun. They seem to think that you can just, you know, get them like candy. It really isn't like that. Now, illegally, sure, stuff goes on, shenanigans.
100%. You know, 100%.
You get it under the table, at a weird show, something like that. But when you're buying it legally, there are hoops that one has to jump through.
There are.
Those NICS filings, that's amazing. That's a huge statistic.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, it's exactly what happens when people don't trust money. They buy gold. When people don't trust the government, they buy guns.
And right now, people are buying gold and guns.
Yeah, so trust in government is at an all-time low, is what you're saying.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, if I can pop in with, like, you know, my retail background, you know, we were talking about this. Costco is selling record numbers of gold bars right now at Costco.
Shocked. Yeah.
And so whenever you see consumers doing that, that's a flight to safety that we say in finance. Yeah. Also, a flight to safety is possessing and buying firearms.
100%. Well, not on the Costco topic, when have you seen Costco sell, you know, generators, freeze-dried food, you know, all the stuff they're selling now?
There's so much doomsday
prep.
It's through
the roof,
and I'm kind of obsessed with it, I have
too.
To tell you.
I'm a fan.
My kids, we're looking at generators, we're looking at, like, solar-powered, you know, phone chargers, coolers, freezers, all this. We didn't. They did not want, what is it, MRED?
Oh, MREs?
Yeah. Alex was like, "Mom, we're not doing that."
They're not very appetizing. Not in the slightest.
So along with this doomsday situation, that has become kind of a thing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, bomb shelters. Then you have people like, you know, not Jeff Bezos, but Mark Zuckerberg that are building these bunkers.
All these doomsday bunkers,
but they're luxurious doomsday bunkers.
Oh, it must be nice.
Exactly. And I'm pretty certain they're probably arming themselves.
Oh, guarantee it. Even the ones that live in, you know, New York and Vermont and California, you know.
Yeah.
You know they get all the goodies.
There's some black guns.
Oh, 100%.
Up in there.
Black guns matter.
Black guns.
Black guns matter.
Black guns do matter. And to that point, what nationally are we seeing as far as firearms purchasing?
So it's very interesting. So we're seeing things, it's not quite to the extent that it was back in 2018, 2019, but we're seeing habits very reminiscent of the COVID, George Floyd civil unrest, basically panic buying. Mm-hmm. So I was working retail at that time. I was behind the gun counter, and you had self-proclaimed liberals that are showing up and saying, "I need a gun. I'm scared." Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, well, that's why we arm. That's why we exist. So it's people who have never even considered buying firearms until this time in our country, in our history, whatever, are going out there and going, "I want this. I want this class. I want this. I want a gun. I want a generator, and I want a water purifier." So
that's interesting.
Very much so.
And to your point about gun training, are you seeing an uptick in gun training?
Yes and no. We're seeing more than it was before. But again, kind of like I mentioned earlier, what a lot of people do is they'll buy the firearm and they'll think, "Okay, I'm good to go." But a gun is a tool. It's like anything else. It's useless if you don't learn how to use it. So a lot of people are kind of recognizing that and becoming more active on there. But I would argue not nearly enough, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're a liability. And we can't have that.
No, we can't have that. There's nothing worse than someone that has a firearm and doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, but the best part is, especially about where the industry is now, training from qualified professionals is a lot more is more accessible now than it ever was. So you've got private instructors who have, you know, been in the service or been in law enforcement. You have full-on organizations, you know, Haley Strategic based off Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, GBRS Group out of Virginia, if you can get in with them. There's all these resources out there now that people are starting to learn and take advantage of and have access to. Direct Action Resource Center out of California, I believe, is another great one. You have a lot more people seeking that out because it is now more accessible.
And honestly, it's just, I think with all of these protesting situations, I think it's made it much worse. And I think folks are literally seeking out more protection. And
100%.
Because it's the uncertainty.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot closer to home now. And as we discussed earlier, it's in a lot more, it's no longer just the bottom of the economic ladder. People are experiencing, you know, violence and incidents and whatever it is. We saw the videos from Arizona State, UCLA, Columbia, everywhere. So in a lot of ways, it's in our backyard.
It's very much in our backyard. Yeah. And we're going to hit on this tomorrow, I think, when we talk about legislation.
Yeah, 100%.
And new trends in the industry and what's happening with that. Where does a woman that wants to purchase a gun, where do you tell her to start her search? Do you go to a gun store?
Yeah,
do you go to Bass Pro Shops?
Yeah, go to a gun store and essentially say it's your first gun. You need to figure out what works for you. And a competent gun salesperson is going to pull a bunch out for you. You're going to essentially, once you find one out of that selection that you like and that, you know, feels good in the hand, you can work all the controls easy, it fits ergonomically, then what you got to do is you got to go out and shoot all of those different ones and find out which one shoots best for you. Something might feel great, but might shoot horribly.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to explore what's happening, speaking of weapons, with the Gilbert Goons and some interesting new developments coming up with that again. It's Kristen Bentz in for Mike Broomhead, and this is KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Oh, my goodness. I've seen 1,000 faces and I've rocked them all. And Mike Broomhead will be so pleased that I'm filling in for him today. Have changed. Hey, everybody, it's Kristen Bentz in for Mike Broomhead today. And we've been talking about Dead or Alive, right? We did a little weapons talk, a little gun chat. And to that ilk, I have KTR reporter Balan Overstolz here to talk about some interesting stuff that's developing with brass knuckles in the Valley. And I know this is kind of an obscure segue, but you know, it's a gift. So, Balan, thank you for showing up today.
Thanks for having me.
And tell me, what's going on with the whole brass knuckles thing?
Yeah, so good timing. Tonight, the city of Chandler is actually going to consider possible action to ban brass knuckles for minors in the city. And this is directly in response to rising East Valley youth violence we've seen. It's both a decision or an idea that kind of started in Gilbert. The leaders there looked at that, but also residents of Chandler through community meetings, conversations at city meetings. The community really, really wants city leaders to look at a brass knuckle ban. It's something that residents feel is a point of action that can make a difference.
So with the entire Gilbert Goons hybrid gang, whatever we're calling it these days, weren't those used as weapons within all of those gang attacks?
Yeah, and shouldn't say all, but yes, they were used in gang attacks. We've heard from Connor Jarnigan, who was attacked with brass knuckles, and he actually spoke about that to state legislators because the state of Arizona looked at a brass knuckle ban, but it failed. It's funny, you segued into this talking, you said you were talking about other guns or other weapons, and actually when they had that conversation at the state level, that was part of it, is the same kind of defenses you hear for why a gun shouldn't be taken away was applied to the brass knuckle conversation. Things like they can be used for self-defense or they shouldn't be taken away for people to have.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting when you think about our state, we're a constitutional carry state, so you can have a gun, but you can't have brass knuckles. So they're voting on that tonight Chandler.
Yeah, city of Chandler is going to look at that. That vote will happen tonight. Important to know, if they do vote yes and this goes through, it would not be implemented likely until late June. Another thing the city of Chandler is looking at tonight is when unruly parties do occur with minors, youth, juveniles, the city of Chandler wants to be able to hold parents who are home when those parties occur accountable for these parties. And that's important to note because the night that Preston Lord was attacked and died later, that was immediately preceded by a party where Maricopa County Attorney Rachel Mitchell says parents were present at the home.
For all of these gang-related beatings and whatnot.
Specifically for the Preston Lord. Yeah.
The Halloween party. Mm-hmm. And I think they should be held accountable. Absolutely. I think if parents are there and this is occurring in front of them and their home and things like this happen, I think they absolutely should be held accountable.
Yeah, and that seems to be something that the city of Chandler agrees with. At least I spoke with Mayor Kevin Harkey about this and he expressed support for it. He basically said, talking about holding parents accountable, it gives police another tool basically to, one, break up these parties, but also, again, hold people accountable afterward.
Are we seeing a rise in these parties now, or after the whole Preston Lord situation, are these being curbed?
Well, what I do know is after what happened with Preston Lord, Gilbert Police specifically, I think Chief Michael Solberg says they're flooding areas that they know these things happen. So that means a large police presence. So they're definitely putting effort into preempting them. And we have seen less reports of them since the Preston Lord attack.
Well, that has to be better news. Hmm. And are we seeing any kind of resolution with the Gilbert Police Department as far as different officials stepping down? Where are we with that?
Yeah, nothing in terms of changes in leadership that I know of. Slightly not related, but also related this week. Gilbert Police actually got approved for a $2.3 million budget increase due to Chief Solberg said increased workload. And it was overtime eating up a lot of that money. And that's for this fiscal year, which ends in June. So they're actually kind of padding like the end of their budget here. He said increased workload. And, you know, we do know they've had reopened youth violence cases, you know, since everything with Preston Lord.
That's a pretty enormous budget, is it not?
You're the economics one, honestly. It's million seems like a big number, but you know, the timing of it's interesting, right?
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, I don't know. I know funding a police department in situations like this is, a huge monetary task, but this seems. I mean, that's a lot of overtime.
It is a lot of overtime. But, you know, Solberg has said they are putting in the work to rake through these older cases and reopen them. So maybe this is indicative of that as well.
So they vote on this tonight. What do you think will happen? What are you looking for?
I'm not going into it thinking anything. I will definitely be paying attention and watching. What interests me with this is I know in the past city leaders have said that they can't really ban brass knuckles. It's not something that can be done at a city level. So we'll see how enforceable this is. And Mayor Kevin Harkey kind of indicated that because he said he wants to join other communities in this to push the state of Arizona. So it seems like the end all be all. If brass knuckles are really banned, it still does have to happen at the state level, but that would likely not happen until next legislative session.
Are there any other cities that you're aware of within the Valley that are outlawing this, banning this, have the same legislation that they're thinking of?
Within the Valley, I don't know. I do know the city of Yuma is also has approached this brass knuckle ban, and Kevin Harkey specifically called them out as essentially an ally in this and rising this initiative.
Interesting. What else is on your radar right now?
Today, Ashley Holden with our news partners at ABC 15, she was in the courts as the suspects were being brought back in. And she says that a trial date has been set for July 21st, 2025 for the six suspects accused of fatally beating Preston Lord. One that could change, very preliminary, but it mm-hmm. does seem like as of now, next year is going to be when we start to see action taken on the on the trial side.
And are they like home under, you know, home confinement? Or are they in jail? I thought one of them was released to home confinement.
Yeah, let's see. April 12th, last month, Talon Vigil was bonded out of jail. All their bonds were set at $1 million. He's the only one who's been released. I was looking at some Facebook community groups mm-hmm. that are active in Gilbert. Mm-hmm. And, I've seen discussion that he has like an ankle monitor and that he's being heavily monitored by police. But that's not something I've gotten a lot of insight into.
Interesting. We're talking with Balan Overschultz. He's a KTAR reporter here and just kind of filling us in on what's happening right now with legislation, with brass knuckles, the ban, and what is going on. So thank you so much for joining us. Anything else you want to leave us with?
No. Thank you for having me. And I'm really happy to talk about this again. City of Chandler voting on this tonight. So keep an eye out. We'll see what they do with brass knuckles and holding parents responsible for unruly parties.
Well, I'm back tomorrow, so I'm going to expect an update from you.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you so much. Again, it's Kristen Bentz filling in for Mike Broomhead. Coming up, we're going to see what's going to happen with the Chris and Joe show. So stick around. This is Kristen Bentz, and this is KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, everyone. It's Kristen Bentz in for Mike Broomhead today. We are in the home stretch. I have a new microphone that's kind of acting up, but, you know, if it's not the chair, it's the microphone.
What'd you do to the microphone?
I didn't do anything to it. Watch this.
Who am I? You're supposed to introduce me.
Oh, hey. Look who's here. It's Joe Wazinga from the Chris and Joe Show.
Settle down over there.
Oh, see, I'm either too perky. I'm not perky enough. Are you going to tell me to smile?
No, you can. You don't have to, though. I was told yesterday at dinner I'm very funny.
You are quite funny.
Yeah. Only when I really try. I don't think I'm like naturally just.
I think your sense of comedic timing is.
It's pretty good.
I think it's funny. No beard.
No, got rid of that a long time ago. You've seen me since then.
I haven't been in lately.
I've seen you without
Mike
my beard.
Mike needs to go away more often. Have you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But hey, that's not what people care about. You asked me during the break, what do I do? What are we talking about here? What am I supposed to do? So there's two things we're going to talk about.
Okay,
one, I heard you driving in this morning, Kristen Bentz.
Oh, God.
You were talking about organized retail crime a little bit. And I got a little fired up in my car and I said, you know what? I'm going to have to fight with her. We haven't had a fight.
Are we going to have words?
We're going to have words.
Are we getting a divorce?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Okay.
We can hug it out. So I read this article the other day, though, and I want your thoughts on it, because what I've seen is, at least in Phoenix and several other big metros, organized retail theft is actually down since 2019.
Yeah.
So why do you think people are making such a big deal about it now? Because I wasn't hearing about it back in, 2019 and early COVID days. Why is it a big deal now?
You also weren't hearing about shark attacks, but they happen.
Shark attacks? What does that have to do with organized retail crime?
Because they happen all the time, but at certain times they become more prolific and people talk about them more.
Okay.
Okay, so...
But if it's not as bad, though, shouldn't that be pointed out?
Okay, so this is an interesting thing. So one of my friends, Daphne Hallin, is an amazing retail journalist. She works for a company and a publication called Retail Dive, and she did a whole series on this. Mm-hmm. And so I butt heads with my other retail analyst friends because it's become very politically charged, as you know.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course. I mean, Rachel Mitchell is up for re-election. She's making a big deal about how she's prosecuting all these people who are stealing stuff. And there is no doubt, I'm not here to say it's not going on at all. It definitely is.
So retail companies are very shady about talking about shrinkage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nobody likes shrinkage. It's not good.
It's just not a fun topic.
No.
For anyone.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
However, retailers curtail the way that they describe shrinkage loss, and it's not consistent across all.
Why do they do that?
Because they don't want people to know they're getting robbed blind.
But.
This is a little trick with publicly traded retail companies. So when things are bad, they're like, shrinkage.
Don't
Target.
You know that they're doing bad, though, based on stock numbers, other things that are going on? Aren't you able to kind of piece the puzzle together and know that they're getting robbed blind to a degree?
Yes, that's the problem. And they're like, oh, well, retail crime is not bad. It's fine. Everything's good. Nothing to see here. Move along.
But again, if it's not as bad as it was in 2019, so they're not being robbed as blind now.
But see,
why has it become a bigger deal now?
It's dubious because the way that they're reporting, it's not consistent across all industries or all retailers. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like when things are bad, it's retail crime. When things are good, oh, there's no retail crime. It's very politically charged because we're in an election year. And so crime is much worse in blue states, but in red states, not so much.
Okay.
And it's being used as a political tool. I think it's bad.
Do you think retail crime is bad?
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's bad, period. And whether or not it's getting worse or not getting worse, I think that's important to point out. But it's not good that it happens.
No.
I happen to like the self-checkouts, but I know there's a whole to-do with the self-checkouts. And I know that's where a lot of this happens because there's nobody standing there. And of course, it's much easier. Some people, I saw the other day, there's some lady who figured out some like six-figure theft scheme.
Yes.
That she could insert one bill and rip off. I'm like, I want that. That lady's hack. How do you insert one bill? And was it like a hundo?
And I never think of that. I'm always the one that's like, did you collect the homework? Like, I'm like, oh, there's something under my cart.
Okay, now here comes a pivot because it's another Kristen Bentz wheelhouse topic that Chris and I are going to be getting in at 2 o'clock.
I hope it's good.
It's on the Chris and Joe show. Of course it's good. What do you mean, I hope it's good?
This is true.
We're talking Social Security. Come on, you've been listening to the...
I listen every day.
You hear the promo. I mean, you hear us. We're talking about, hey, Social Security, not in good shape. And there's people out there, Kristen, who are saying that it's nearing insolvency.
Yes.
I don't happen to be a... I'm not a believer in that. Here's why I don't believe that. The government is always going to kick the can. They're never going to say it's out, we're done. Because if they do that, what's going to happen?
All the people
in office are going to get bounced. They know that the public will be PO'd and will toss them out all on their fannies. So what I think they're going to do is they're just going to kick the can. It's, what is it, 68 now? I'm 42. When they're going to allow me to retire?
You're 42.
Yeah, is that good, bad,
no,
indifferent?
You're just like a young pup.
I put a picture of myself up there the other day. I showed it to someone, and they're like, that's not you. I was like, yeah, that actually was me.
You're a young pup.
Well, I'm different now. I actually think I look better now than I did like
I think you look
15
phenomenal.
Years ago. Pablo, do I look better now? Pablo says yes. He says, bésame. No, Pablo, I will not kiss you. But
you got all the good stuff.
So Social Security, what do I need to know about that? Am I going to have money when I retire at 812? When am I going to be allowed to call it quits?
I think not. I think...
What?
I think the
American... Hold on. You think not?
No, I don't...
You're supposed to be the bearer of good news.
No, I'm the blonde reaper.
No.
I do not bring good news. I just deliver it in a fun and
Why
very
am I paying
way.
All this money to Social Security? You're supposed to tell me, Joe, there is going to be a pivot and you're going to fund your own Social Security.
It might be... I would do like a 401k situation.
I have
not
that.
Rely on. Okay.
But
so
why
good.
Am I paying for other people to retire if nothing is going to be there for me?
I didn't
me?
Say nothing. I said just don't count on it. I'm just saying.
Don't count on it.
I think Americans
That's what
are going
to
have to
take
work
to Chris
a lot
today
longer.
At 2 o'clock. Hey, Chris, I got some bad news. I talked to the Blonde Reaper. She says don't count on any of this money you've been paying in for 30 years.
I do have an MBA.
Okay, I have a cell phone. What do you...
Oh my God, ASU. I'm going to talk to Michael Crow about this commentary. This is blasphemy, people. Direct your cards and letters here. Okay, so I just would not expect it to last. It's not going to last forever. Nothing's forever, honey. Forever, ever?
Forever, never. So that the music means we're almost out of time.
Okay.
You got like 40 seconds. You want to say bye-bye to everybody? Thank Julia, Tim.
Julia, Tim, Jess, everybody, thank you. Now go be great.
What about Paul? You going to thank Paul, too? He's back
Paul's
there.
Paul's hiding in the back. Dude, hi. Hi, Paul.
How about Pablo? Pablo helped me
Pablo
get in
just
here.
Just got here.
Got here like an hour ago.
Whatever, man. I've been here since like 6 in the morning.
All right, Dave Ramsey coming up next.
Oh, yay.
After a check of the headlines with Deborah Dale.
You just have a plethora of information.
I'm just here to help you. You're the looks. I'm just the...
I have a face for radio. Come on,
no,
people.
No, you're the looks and the brains. I'm just the comic relief.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Thank God for you, Joe Wazinga.
Whatever.
Mike Burhead, I hope I did you proud.